I'm going to be sharing a message called My God Will Take Care of Me. My God Will Take Care of Me. Wouldn't it be great if we could live in a world where everything was perfect, just like the Garden of Eden? Imagine walking face to face, talking to God, enjoying amazing, beautiful relationships with family and friends, tending the flocks, eating the fat of the land. No war, no tears, no fighting, no danger. You know, the more time you spend in the first few chapters of the book of Genesis, the more you realize that the world we're living in is so far from God's original design. God's plan, peace and abundance. Mankind's actions, sin. The outcome, a world plagued with struggle, brokenness and injustice. And you don't have to look far to see it, it's everywhere. Some say that God has abandoned us, that we are forsaken. But as believers, we know that we are not forsaken. The Lord has opened our eyes to see the glimpses of his goodness all around us, to see the seeds that are sprouting up full of hope, even among the hard thorns. In this world, we are told, and many of us will know, that we are going to find ourselves in situations which may seem sometimes too overwhelming for us to handle. Maybe some of you here right now are journeying through something that you thought you'd never be journeying through, whether you were here in the congregation or watching online. Maybe there's something that you're working through that you thought, wow, I didn't think I'd ever have to go through this. But tonight, whatever you are going through, no matter what it looks like, the Lord is reminding us tonight that he is the God who will take care of you. Let's say it together and let's claim that promise for ourselves. Let's say, my God will take care of me. My God will take care of me. My God will take care of me. Amen, amen. It's an important proclamation to make, especially in difficult times and times of challenge. My God will take care of me. Over the last 3 weeks, we've been walking through Psalm 27, which is a psalm which we would call a psalm of lament and trust. Now, a lament is where a writer basically expresses great sorrow, great confusion, or great pain in writing it out. And King David, who is the psalmist and the one who writes this psalm, he does exactly that. Now, we know King David to be a wonderful worshiper, a great musician, and so he's not afraid to express himself. He is absolutely brutally honest about the fears that are raging around his heart. Now, I know we've been reading through Psalm 27, but tonight we are focusing specifically on three verses, which are verses 10 to 12, and we're going to read them now. It says, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence." In just three verses, David sums up the challenges that can so quickly arise in all our lives. Maybe some of you here can relate to David's words. Have you ever felt forsaken? Have you ever felt like you have no direction in your life? Have you ever felt like you're under threat? Well, David, he feels all three all at once. He feels forsaken by his loved ones. He feels confused about which way to go because of all the enemies that have gathered around him. He knows that his opponents, they want to rip him to pieces, and they are prepared to go to any lengths to do this, including bringing false witnesses to spout lies and violence against him. And as we pick up from this language, David is fearful, he's worried, he's panicking, and dare I say it, he sounds paranoid. But even at the same time, even in the depth of David's despair and the things that he's going through, I think as we read this scripture, we see the identity of King David come up and rise to the surface, because he is a worshiper. And he is a man of God. And he knows that despite being in trouble once again, he can look to the God who has saved him in numerous circumstances and numerous trials. It's the same God that he knows who brought him victory against the giant of Goliath. It is the same God who has come up and helped him when he was fighting with lions and bears, when he was a shepherd boy trying to look after his sheep and keep them safe from the wolves. And this is the same God who has helped him from King Saul's numerous assassination attempts on his life. And so King David, he knows very well that it is God who is going to help him. And at the same time, he's able to speak the truth about what's going on at the same time as declaring God's word. He knows that his God is going to take care of him, as he says. He says that his God is going to protect him. And he says that his God is going to direct him right out of trouble. Are you like David tonight? Is anyone here like David? Are you able to speak the truth about the challenges that you face and at the same time speak in faith that you know that your God will take care of you? Is there anyone like that here tonight? Is there anyone like that here tonight? Amen. We need to speak the truth about what we face, but not forget to speak in faith, because we know that it's the same God who will come through for us as he's done so many times before. A few years ago, I was on a mission trip in Eastern Europe, and I experienced and saw suffering like I had never seen suffering before. We were working with a local Christian group in a village, and they set up families. Well, they set up meetings with families in need. And so we went to visit one of the families. We were told to go together, and we went to what looked like a big expanse of land. And the land, the only way I could describe it, was like literally like a rubbish dump. There was tin and metal and household waste strewn all over the place. But in there, in that whole place, there was also families that had set up shelters for themselves. And so we were going to meet one of the different families. And as we walked through, I thought, look, Lord, this is such a bleak place. This is such a tough place to walk through. Anyway, we get to one of the shelters and we meet a lady there who is a mother of four. And she begins to tell us her story. She's 28 years old, and as she begins to talk, her four children gather around us, and she begins to speak about the difficulties that she's been facing in life. She tells us about her 12-year-old daughter, who, when I look at her, she looks so much older than her years. But we're told that this young girl, her daughter, had a baby just a few weeks ago that had passed away in an accident. And then the mother begins to talk and tell us all the different things that had been happening, all the struggles, all the pain, all the hardship. And she said it was all too much. She said, I'm fed up. I want to leave the children and I want to go somewhere and make some money. There's nothing for me here, she said. There's nothing for me here. As I looked into her eyes, all I could see was tiredness, frustration, and helplessness just written all over her face. And so I reached out my hand to pray for her, and to encourage her to keep going, to encourage her not to leave her children, to encourage her that Jesus did have answers and that better days were coming. The next day, we went back to visit the family again and to bring them some shopping and to encourage them to connect with the local Christian project. And this time, as we approached, a woman on one of the other shelters, she began to scream and shout in rage. And we looked over at her, and she was literally sending curse words at us. And I didn't obviously understand the language, but the translator said, what on earth is happening? What is she doing? And she said, oh, she's very jealous that you guys are here bringing that lady food over there. She's very angry. And she began to swear and swear and swear, and the atmosphere just became darker. Anyway, we finally arrived at the mother's shelter, and we gave her the food, and then we began to speak to her through the translator again. And this time she smiled and she said, you know, I know that there's a God, because many times we have nothing and I ask him to help and somebody always comes and brings us something. And she smiled so brightly. Then we gave them the shopping, we parted ways, and then we began to walk back. Anyway, the cursing lady who'd been swearing, she began to kick up a storm in the spirit like I'd never seen before. The skies became darker. There was wind all over the place. It was so windy. And then the dogs who had previously been completely disinterested in us were suddenly around us in a menacing way. And I said to the translator, "What is happening? What is happening?" And she said, "Just look forward and keep on walking." And so that's what we did. We kept on walking and we were praying in tongues, trying to get out. Anyway, the Lord saw us out of there safely. Sometimes we can look at a situation of human suffering and feel like, "God, where are you? God, where are you?" I'm sure we've all been there. Maybe you have maybe not been in that situation like I was, but maybe you've been with people, friends, family, or not even people you know who are struggling. People you know who are sick in pain, close to death, difficulties making ends meet, some people depressed, some people struggling, some people traumatized and shamed by the weight of life, others with vacant minds. Maybe some of you feel like that right here, right now. You think, "Well, look, I'm just going through so much." But sometimes we can look at suffering through physical eyes and begin to call out, "God, where are you? Why can't you just fix it? Why can't you just fix it now?" You know, when I was praying for that lady and I reached out to touch her, and I prayed for her when we were in her shelter, I just saw a big brick wall come into my vision as I prayed for her. And I thought, I was quite taken aback by it. And I said, "Lord, what is that?" And it's almost like the Lord was showing me that there was some sort of blockage, some sort of thing, a spiritual blockage that was operating in her life. And in my heart, as I was praying after when I left, I said, "Lord, why don't you just break down the wall? Why don't you just smash the wall down? Why does she have to go through all of this?" And I was just really praying and really contending in the spirit. And then the Lord just made me remember the woman's smile. And then he made me remember her words. Sometimes we have nothing, but I ask him to help. And somebody always comes and brings us something. Even in the depths of suffering, God is reminding us of his eternal truth. That even unto death, the Lord will take care of us. The Lord will take care of us. Does anyone believe that tonight? Amen. 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 You know, the thing about life, and I know we don't like to talk about this stuff, is that God never actually set us up to believe that everything in our life would be perfect. You know, the scriptures, they're packed with ordinary people just like you and me who have to walk through really, really difficult times. Some of them are dealing with poverty, injustice, barrenness, isolation, sickness, violence. You read the scriptures, you'll see everything in it. And at the same time, in the same scriptures, we also see our God make ways in the wilderness, open closed doors, and make the impossible possible. For me, the biggest lifeline in the scripture and in our lives when we read the word is that God himself sent us Jesus. He sent us Jesus in the form of a man to walk amongst us, to redeem us from sin, hell, death, and the grave. And that's what Jesus did when he came. He brought us healing. He brought us everything that we needed. He brought us redemption for our sins. And when I think about the scriptures and I think about that, I just think, "Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you care about us so much that you sent your only son, Jesus, to die on a cross for you and for me." And then I'm reminded that God is always reminding us that he has made a way. You know, when we read Jesus' words himself in John 16:33, he says, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation." My version says you will have trouble. "But take heart, I have overcome the world." Amen. Amen. And so somewhere in between the challenges that we're facing and the difficulties that we're seeing and holding on to our rescuer Jesus, we are called to navigate the path of life, holding fast to the truth that our God will take care of us. And it might not always look like how you want it to look, but the truth remains. And we are called to say and believe that my God will take care of me. For many of you tonight, the Lord just wants you to come to a place where you begin to do a spiritual inventory. You might be thinking, "Yeah, I don't know this. I haven't seen this in my life." But I think we can all come to a place where we do a spiritual inventory, which would be like a checklist, where we begin to remember all the things that God has done, where we begin to look back at the expanse of our life and say, Lord, I can actually see all the different ways that you touched my life, all the different ways where your hand was all over my life. Yes, it might not have worked out every way that I wanted it to, Lord God, but you were there. You were holding me even in those dark times, even in those difficult times. Lord God, you've been there. You've been there. Lord, you've been there. You've cared for me. You've taken care of me, Lord God. Lord, when I was struggling, when I was in a dark place, Lord God, you have held me up, Lord God. And Lord, I can say, Lord, as I do my inventory, as I do my checklist, yes, Lord, you were here. You were very much here. Is there anyone where who the Lord has brought through a sickness here? Is anyone being brought through a sickness by the Lord? Amen. Lots of hands going up. Has anyone ever received a word of encouragement from a total stranger? Amen. That's the Lord. And has anyone ever been in that those dark times in the night where you've called out to the Lord and he's given you supernatural comfort? Anyone ever felt that? Amen. Because that's the God that we serve. And so let's not be quick to forget. Isaiah 46:4 says, I am your God, and I will take care of you until you are old and your hair is gray. I made you and will care for you. I will give you help and rescue you. Philippians 4:19, we just read it. It says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. It's so lovely to read the scriptures and be reminded of the promises of God, but I also know that some of you might be sitting here and you might be thinking very contrary thoughts to what I'm actually saying. You might be thinking things like, well, it's great to hear about King David's faith and how he had all this faith, but I don't have any faith. We wouldn't dare admit that that was our thought, would we? Some of you might be sitting here thinking, okay, the Lord is taking care of me. He's supposed to take care of me, but I'm struggling, I'm lonely, and I feel forsaken right now. You know, it's important to be honest, because King David here, he's very honest about how he feels, and it's important for us also to be honest with God and with ourselves, and recognize that sometimes the contrary thoughts that we are thinking to the word are actually enemies to our faith. There are sometimes roots and things that we're feeling that are coming directly from the enemy, trying to destroy and minimize the word of God going into your hearts. And it's important to just take note of that and recognize some of those enemies of our faith. Now, tonight, I want to identify three enemies of your faith that can work against you, that can stand in the way of God's promises that he wants to take care of you. And sometimes when we don't believe the word and we're focusing on the fact that, oh yeah, we've got all these different thoughts going everywhere, we need to remind ourselves that we need to bring our thoughts back to the fact that the truth of God's word is yes and amen. These three enemies that I'm going to talk about now, they stop us enjoying the joy and the peace of God's word. And one of them is double-mindedness. The second one is self-reliance. And the third one is fear. Double-mindedness I'll take first. So just like I said, if you read the scripture and you hear the promises, but you struggle to believe and to live it out, that might be you tonight. You might be struggling with double-mindedness. I hear the word of God, but my life doesn't actually match up with what I hear. And if that is you, you are not alone. I was reading about Martin Luther, who was the great German theologian who basically helped bring about the Protestant Reformation in the 15th century. And Martin Luther, he was the one who was why we have our Bible in our hand, why we all have scriptures in our hand, is largely down to Martin Luther fighting that we, as common people, would have the word and be able to read it. And so Martin Luther was a great man of God. He did amazing things. But as we actually learn about his life and we hear some, read through some of his writings, we can also see that he had what we would describe as OCD or depression. He basically was often talking about how he would have distorted thoughts. Sometimes he would be in panic or nausea and numbness as he sought to do the work of God. Sometimes he describes himself as having feelings of lust and hatred and envy towards other people. Other times he said that he would be just overcome with these blasphemous thoughts as he began to curse God and Jesus. Can you imagine? Martin Luther, the one that we like to talk about as being this great man of God, overcome with all these struggles and battles in his mind. In fact, it says that he went to confession so many times that he annoyed many other priests because he was continually going back and forward trying to explain all the things that he was feeling. But what Martin Luther did is he actually was suffering from double-mindedness. Now, his suffering, he says, improved when he took captive one single thought. And that thought was, the righteous shall live by faith. Romans 1:17. He said, the righteous shall live by faith. And he took that one scripture and he said it helped him to overcome a lot of the torment, a lot of the mental agony that he was going through, because he began to just meditate on that one scripture. He was like, I can't focus on the rest of it. I just need to meditate on that one scripture. For everything I'm going through, the just or the righteous shall live by faith, and I'm just going to hold on to that. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says that we should demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we should take captive every thought and bring it into obedience to Christ. My God will take care of me. We need to take that thought captive. How does your soul respond when I say, my God will take care of me? My God will take care of me. How does your soul respond to that? Is it happy to accept it? Or does it rage against it? You know, if you suffer with double-mindedness in any way, as I've described, just remember Martin Luther himself shows us that we can help, ask God to help us to train our thoughts again and get our thoughts back on a right path. Now, self-reliance is the second one that I want to talk about today, which is the enemy to God's word being ingested in our hearts. Now, self-reliance is basically a false sense of security. You become very reliant on yourself, you become very independent, because basically everything in your life is going okay. You know, there's nothing much that you're battling for or struggling for, and actually things are quite good. And so you become self-reliant. You think, well, it's all about me, myself, and I'm good. I just need to focus on what I need. I'm the one that can do this. I'm the one that can get a job. I'm the one that can buy a car. I'm the one that can book my holiday. I'm the one that can, you know, press my app and get some food to my door in 2 seconds. I'm the one that can get an Uber driver to drive me anywhere I like. I'm the one that can go on Google and basically, you know, find out any bit of knowledge that I need. And if I'm feeling unwell, I can find out all the answers that I need by pressing a button. I don't need God. God who? God who? And some of us, we wouldn't dare admit that, but we are living a life of self-reliance where all we're thinking about is ourselves. We're thinking about how we're going to do it. And God is pushed out of that because things are okay. Now, King David, as we read about, he was also somebody who had come from very humble beginnings, but things got good for him. Things did get good for him, and he became very powerful. He became very honored. And many people, you know, glorified his name. And as he began to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and more powerful, what happened to him is that he ended up leaving the battlefront when he was supposed to be in the army. And he went home and he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he murdered her husband, Uriah. And at the throes of his heights and all the things that he was going through, he ended up committing this awful sin. And then he made it worse with another awful sin. And when I think about King David, I think about the fact that after that, he basically, the consequences of his sin is that he ended up having incest, rape, and murder go through his children. There were so many different things that happened. And the thing is, when things got really bad for David, that's the time when he stopped becoming self-reliant. That's the time when he came and he put his face down to the ground before God and he said, Lord God, would you heal me? Lord God, would you forgive me? If you read Psalm 51, you can see the lament of King David crying out for all the things that he had done that he knew that he should never have done, asking God to forgive him. And you know, tonight we have to all be careful. We have to all guard against arrogance and pride, because as we know, it's so easy to fall into it. When things start going our way, we can be those that suddenly forget that we worship God, suddenly forget that we're called to be in the house of God, that we're called to encourage other believers, that we're called to assemble together. We can forget that because everything else is getting all our attention. But remember also that God is the one who has provided whatever you have. And it is him that gives you breath every day, and he can give and he can take away. Another way that we can be self-reliant is that sometimes we have built up walls around us because of some of the things that we've faced in life. Maybe some of you, you've had bitterness, you've had disappointment, you've had pain, and you've been like, God, you haven't come through for me. And as a result of that, I'm going to just look after myself. It sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? How can you look after yourself? But for many people, they're like, I'm just going to just forget that God is there. You didn't do what I wanted when you wanted me to do it, when I wanted you to do it. And so I'm just going to forget that you're there. Where were you, God, when I cried out? Where were you, Lord, when I needed you to move? Where were you when I needed you to heal my friend? Where were you when I needed you to rescue me? As a result of that, Lord, I'm putting up these big block walls around myself. When I think about the things that I've suffered or the things that I've gone through or I've seen other people suffer, I'm always called to look to Jesus on the cross. Because every time I look to Jesus on the cross, I'm reminded of the suffering Savior who died for my sins. I'm reminded of the fact that Jesus walked as human on the earth, 100% man, 100% God. And in his time, he knew what it was like to be wounded, to be spat on, to be mocked, to be given false accusations against his life. He is the one that encountered all of that. And I know that Jesus, when he sees us suffering, he is walking right with us. He's right there with us, right beside us. And he's walking through. And sometimes, you know, the world doesn't make sense. The world that we live in doesn't make sense. The answers that we need aren't always there. But we will have all the answers that we need on the other side of eternity. And in the meantime, we're called not to build up walls, but to repent if that is what we've been doing, and to trust God again. We need to look to eternity for the answers. And then the final enemy of our faith is what I would call fear. Now, we all know what fear is like. We all know what it's like to be frightened. We all know what it's like to have things come up against us that make us feel terrified. And here we see King David terrified by his enemies. He knows what it's like because he has himself been in the throes of war, and he knows what he's done to other people. And so we know that he knows what it's like to be fearful. And as he pleads, he says, God, protect me. God, deliver. Don't deliver me into their hands, Lord God. Would you rescue me? He says in these verses. What can fear do to us? Well, fear can either drive us to our face like David, where he cries out to God in this psalm. But fear can also paralyze us. I don't know what fear does to you. But for many of us, fear would give rise to panic. And for many of us, fear can send us into depression or inaction. But the antidote to fear tonight, I want to remind us, is that we need to trust in God. Trust gives rise to surrender. Even in the tough times when we're totally defeated, we're called to trust in God again. Lord, I'm not sure how you're going to work this one out. Lord, I'm fearful. Lord, I'm scared. But I trust you, Lord. I trust that you're going to help me get my way through this. You're going to walk me through this one. It's going to work out okay. And just like David, we need to be driven to our faces. Fear should actually drive us to our faces. When COVID was on, I say it like it's a movie, but when COVID was happening, there was a time when, I don't know if you remember it, but just after the first lockdown, maybe about two or three months after we had the first lockdown, I remember just feeling like, at first I was really brave, and then after a while, all the news reports, all the information, all the stories, all the phone calls, my mind began to get flooded. And I began to be like, Lord, I just need to shut off for a bit. Anyway, I shut my phone off for a couple of days, and then one day I decided to turn my phone on. And as I turned my phone on, I looked at my WhatsApp. Don't know if it's ever happened to you. And all of a sudden, all the numbers started to rise as I turned it on. It was like hundreds of messages just rising up on the screen. And I don't know what happened in that moment, but I literally ingested fear and anxiety. I was just overcome by fear and anxiety, so much so that I was trembling. I was agitated. And I was like, Lord, I need you to take care of me. I know no one else is going to be able to do this, Lord. It's only going to be you that is going to take care of this. Because this is not from you. And so I was like, Lord, I need help. I need help, Lord. There's something that I need you to do. I need you to help me come through this time. Anyway, I know, because I've been through different times of struggle, and I'm sure you all have, but for me, one of the ways that I come through some of the struggles is by worshiping and singing the word out over and over and over again. Sometimes I just listen to the audio Bible and I'm like, Lord, I just need your word to go into the deepest recesses of my soul. I need you to destroy the enemy of fear in my heart and in my life. Lord, would you do it? You know, as I began to praise during that season, it worked. The fear left. I was like, thank you, Lord. Only the Lord does that. Only the Lord does that. Amen. And so tonight, I believe the Lord is looking down on all of us. He knows you all by name. He knows the numbers of hairs on your head. He knows you intimately. And tonight he's looking down at us. He's looking down at the challenges. He's looking down at the chaos. He's looking down at the mess. He's looking down at the struggles of your life and mine. And in it all, he is promising to take care of you. And so as we end this service, I wanted to be quite different this time. Sam, if you're able to come and play for us. I was going to just read some scriptures over us, straight from the mouth of God, from his word. Because no matter what the enemies are that try to lessen and destroy the impact of God's words in our life, we can always hold fast to the truth of God's word, because his word will always remain. And so where you are now, if you just want to bow your head, or you can just come into a place where you're like, Lord, I'm just open. I'm open. I'm open. I just want to read some scriptures over you tonight. And I want you to, like I said, just ingest these scriptures into the depth of your soul. Take them in your heart. Take them in your mind. Let them saturate your spirit. Say, Lord, I just need you right now. Can anyone say that in this place? Lord, I need you right now. I need you right now, Lord. I need you right now. Lord, you said you're going to take care of me. And so tonight, Lord, I listen to you. I listen to the words of your scripture. And Lord, it's not just one word. You've said many, many words over many, many different chapters and verses, Lord God. You've said it over and over that you're the God that will take care of me. And tonight I choose to agree with your word. I choose to agree with these words deep into the depths of my soul. Isaiah 41:10. The word of the Lord says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Matthew 6:25-34 says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your body, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your clothing, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father, he feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Genesis 28:15. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I've done what I promised you. Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope.